Okay, everyone settle down. We're going to enjoy a wonderful presentation.
Once we get the technical thing going, they can't get to the Wi-Fi. We're getting there.
Can someone log in the laptop? Does it have to be his laptop?
No, it does not have to be my laptop.
Is
no,
it the Wi-Fi?
But he does need a VGA output.
That's the problem.
It's P3916.
Yeah,
P3916. Right. It didn't work, so we're trying to do it by.
I don't know. I don't know. I actually don't know. I actually don't know any answers anymore.
We just double check.
Here, I'll turn on my Wi-Fi so you can connect to the Wi-Fi from my phone.
Oh, where'd you get that code?
That's a good idea.
So then that way we don't have to look at Wi-Fi.
Work around.
I love it.
So once you get to the Wi-Fi, I'll let you know which one is my phone, and you can
okay.
log into that. Use that one.
All right.
Yeah, I mean, if it doesn't come back on, if this doesn't work, as soon as you come back up, try it. We're doing reboot to see if you can connect to the LAN. If that doesn't work, we'll
Well, because time is just so irrelevant right now. Thank you, John. For being the only quiet one in the room.
It's early, yeah.
I think we should bring out the wine and the beer after this. And I'm stuck with probably stale Chinese food. Oh my God.
Look,
because Sarah and the Chinese both brought us lunch at lunchtime. Sarah got the day's stuff.
Oh, that's why we didn't have Chinese food.
Yes.
I was wondering why I'm trying now.
Sarah was supposed to bring that today's
try what?
Because if not,
you mean turn the Wi-Fi on?
Oh,
no,
it's in there.
They both showed up at the same time.
Oh, that's all right.
So are we going to be in the
people think I was upset.
You know,
no.
Well, maybe.
That's how I got it.
So Brenda's idea is a good idea, though.
I'm perfectly calm. But
connected to her hotspot. Right. Okay, here we're going to do that.
Okay, so unplug the cable.
This is 20 minutes.
Go back to your Wi-Fi thing.
It's the Samsung Galaxy.
I always know what I'm doing.
The password?
No, I shouldn't say I always know. I usually know.
2005.
3916. It's
piece
3916.
Oh, 3916. What street?
90230.
Hi. I'm trying.
Okay, you can try it over. Just restart the feed and you're connected.
So tell me when I should do it.
Good Lord, I hope it works. Hi, everybody.
Hi.
Hang in there. Just a minute. I am trying to. Okay. It's still not coming up. So, I see.
Yeah, that's
Hey.
We got to check the sound. Brian?
Yes.
Just check the clip of sound.
There we go. Okay, we'll skip this in a minute. How's that sound?
Yeah.
Do you live far outside of wherever we are now?
Well, I guess I'm about 4 or 5 miles down the road.
You really sound like farmer John.
Yeah, man, when I come up here, and I have to do all, get everything I'm going to get. I got to go to the store and do all that, because I don't want to come back up here.
Where do you find your home?
Anywhere. There's a room over the garage out there that I'm getting fixed now. I think it's going to be my practice room. You know, sometimes you fill a room and it ends up, you're still going to toilets. So I don't know. I hope I like it. But I keep a horn on the piano, and I have a horn in my bedroom. My flute's usually back there, because when I go there, I'm tired, so I lay down and practice.
About how many hours a day do you play, would you say?
Not too much at this time. I find that it's only when something is trying to come through, you know, mm-hmm. that I really practice, and then it's I don't know how many hours. It's all day. I did a foolish thing. I got dissatisfied with my mouthpiece. And I had some work done on this thing. And instead of making it better, it ruined it. And it really it discouraged me, you know, a little bit. Because there were certain aspects of that, of playing that certain fast thing that I was reaching for, that I couldn't push because I damaged this thing. So I just had to curtail it. But at that moment, it was so vivid in my mind, the difference of what I was getting on the horn. As soon as I put that horn in my mouth, I could hear. I could feel it, you know. So I just stopped. I just went into other things. And in fact, the pilot, one of the reasons I started getting dissatisfied with that tenor mouthpiece, see, because the sound of that soprano was actually so much closer to me in my ear, and I didn't want to admit this damn thing, because I said, well, the tenor is my horn. This is my favorite. But soprano, there's still something there in just the voice of it that I can't, it's really beautiful.
Awesome.
I really like it.
People I was staying with have a friend, a young lady, and she was downtown at one of Malcolm X's speeches, and lo and behold, who should plop down on the seat next to her but John Coltrane?
Yeah.
Were you impressed with him?
Definitely. Dude, I felt I had to see the man. I was quite impressed.
Some musicians have said that there's a relationship between some of Malcolm's ideas and the music.
Well, I think that music, being the expression of the human heart or of the human being itself, does express just what is happening. The whole of a human experience is at the particular time that it is being expressed. In any situation that we find in our lives, when there's something that we feel should be better, we must exert effort to try to make it better.
And
so it's the same socially, musically, politically, in any department of your life. I think music is an instrument. It can create the initial better thought pattern, the change, you see, in the thinking of the people. I feel I want to be a force for good. You know, I want to be a force for real good. In other words, I know that they are bad forces. You know, I know that there are forces out here that bring suffering to others and misery to the world. But I want to be the opposite, of course. I want to be the force which is truly for good.
Some cigarettes?
No, I'm just sitting up because my back is wet, and I'm just trying to get off the
car. I don't have any more of my prepared questions to ask you, or my improvised questions to ask you. I don't know when I'll ever get a chance to sit you down with a tape recorder. Do you have anything else that you'd like to get on here?
I think, man, well, you just about covered it, I believe. Just about covered it.
All right, thanks, everybody. So I want to take a few minutes not only to celebrate the fact that we just had our initial premiere animated short film done by PBS Digital Studios, Blank on Blank. That was the first one that just was released last month, and there's over 65,000 downloads of the YouTube, and on our Pacifica Radio Archive SoundCloud, we have over 7,000 new listeners, building new audiences from new places. Yes?
Has anyone introduced you?
Oh, nobody introduced me.
Okay. Here I am.
Lydia, introduce
me.
I take it for granted everybody knows me. I'm so bad. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Because now you're famous, as you can see. Okay. So we have the pleasure of having Brian DeShazer, who is the director of the Pacifica Radio Archives. And he's going to go in and just delight us with everything that's featured recently in the archives. If you have never gone to visit the archives, it's an absolute necessity. You have no idea the gems that are there and the importance of the archives to us and to all of our affiliate stations and to PBS and to everyone else and to students. It is truly the sheer fulfillment of our mission, as so much of our programming is, but the fact that the archives preserves that programming for us. So without further ado, Brian DeShazer.
Great. Thank you. So as I was just saying, you know, on our SoundCloud account, we've been uploading materials, and this also gives us some statistics on who's listening, where they're listening from. And I was trying to get down to the John Coltrane track. There it is, interview with John Coltrane. And now that will show you that it is an hour-long interview. And from that YouTube animated feature, it leads people to this, and that way we actually have statistics, comments, and as I said, it was building new audiences. So to address the board, there's a few things that we need to do for business, which are two motions that have been discussed, one which was the Finance Committee Finances motion about reducing expenses to the archives. So we just recently got the eight-month financial report, and with Mariana Berkovich last night, we analyzed it, and she went over it with a few board members last night at the reception. And it comes down to we've reduced expenses with understanding the intention of the motion, and we raised money from new revenue sources to help bridge those gaps. And it leaves us with a positive bottom line of only needing $40,000 to finish the year and complete the National Archives grant on the Women's Project, which I'll tell you more about in just a moment. So my request, along with Lydia's advice, is to request that the motion be sent back to the Finance Committee and reanalyzed with the new figures, and invite Mariana Berkovich and myself to readdress the motion. And should I stop there and ask them if that's amenable to them? Or do we leave it?
We'll do it.
We'll
deal with it.
Oh, you'll deal with it. Okay, you'll deal with it. All right, so, and then secondly, was a motion that the Archives Task Force is bringing up, and that, you know, one of my responsibilities is to the historic collection of the reel-to-reel tapes. But in 2002, about with the advent of the digital age and the stations moving to digital world and producers using mini discs and DAT tapes and into the digital age of what they're using now, which are basically iPhones, you know, our concern was how is Pacifica collecting that material. And with John Almella and Otis and Mark Torres, we really have looked at it again, and we have lost a great deal of audio in the past 10 years. I would say from 2011 to 2002 basically is lost. We didn't have the technology to collect it, record it, or save it. So where those things live are with the individual programmers, on audio port if it was distributed to the network, and possibly if somebody called us at KPFK or in the archives at the 800 number, asked for a copy, and we did research. But we're solving that problem really quickly right now. About 6 years ago, we set up a dedicated workstation for KPFK to be recorded at high archival quality sound, not website streaming sound, but above broadcast quality sound quality. So everything from KPFK from the past 6-7 years is in our little black box, and we could retrieve it by date and time, as some of the programmers of KPFK found out. So I see your sister. Hi. So we want to correct that. So we've the motion basically is to tell each station to replicate what we do at KPFK and then send the archives a little black box digital server. Wait, digital memory stick thing. Thank you, hard drive. And then we'll move it over to our audio server. And the archives just last year and a half, got an audio server that will hold the WAV files of all the audio that we're preserving. So that's another major step forward in terms of preserving our material. So I want to support that motion when it comes up, that we are working with the stations individually to solve that. But ultimately, we want you, the board, to motivate the idea and concept that Pacifica needs to find a way to collect digitally 24/7 all that we do so that we can find it again. Good. All right, so I hit a button. Okay, there it goes. All right, so one of the other hopeful things in working in the archives in terms of raising money and finding new revenue is the National Radio Preservation Task Force. I think I'm going to have to go find this another way, so bear with me there for a second. But as I talk, the National Radio Preservation Task Force is, of the Library of Congress, a National Recorded Sound Preservation Board was created in 2005 to address preserving public broadcasting materials, both television and radio. And the archives was part of that presentation and initiative. So we've been part of the American Archive of Public Broadcasting Initiatives and the National Recorded Sound Preservation Task Force, which is new, of the National Recorded Sound Preservation Board. That's a lot of words, isn't it? Radio Preservation Task Force. I think I can get it that way. Yep, there it is, National Radio Preservation Task Force. So the National Radio Preservation Task Force has just sent us a letter for the Pacifica Radio Archives and Pacifica to be a formal partner with the Radio Preservation Task Force. If you look, we're already in an affiliate, meaning our collection is part of, where does it say? Affiliates, there it is. Affiliates and online collections. So this is done by state. So you'll see California, there's Pacifica Archives right there. But also look at California. We do not have Other Minds Archives, which have Pacifica materials. We don't have Freedom Archives, which has Pacifica materials. And other libraries and archives that I know, like the One Archives of Gay and Lesbian Materials, has some materials. So we're working with them. Now, what's really interesting about this, and what is the letter of invitation to be a formal partner is this Radio Preservation Task Force already has 125 scholars that have already committed to working with the archives to write grants to continue the funding of the digitization of the collection. Yeah. 125 professors and educators and people who are dedicated to this task force are willing and committed because they understand that this collection at Pacifica is one of the premier audio collections that helps serve the interests of our nation for education and access to information. So we're really excited that I'm working with John Prophet, and I'm sure that we're going to accept the invitation. What that means is, and also what that means is in February, I'm going to be attending the research caucus of those 125 professors to start working on those grant initiatives and how to get funding into the archives for digitizing the collection. Now, that actually happened because we in the archives and the staff in the archives were part of the projects and the initiatives of those granting organizations, the American Archive of Public Broadcasting. They've also committed to send a team of catalogers to the archives next year when the initiatives happen so that we can actually start upgrading our initiatives or updating our cataloging information based on the practices or standards and practices and the procedures that we've created under the National Archives Grant, which is the women's grant. Let me see if I can go back to that. Pacifica. Oh, going quick while I'm getting this up. The Blank on Blank animated film, they're already doing our second animated film, which will be a 1970 interview with Dustin Hoffman. And a third interview that will be worked on in the future is an interview with Carl Sagan. So very interesting stuff that they're doing. Let me see if I can get to blog. All right, so the National Historical Publications and Records Commission at the National Archives is funding our project that we're only 3 months away from finishing. It's been 5 years in the making. It's a two-year project, and it preserves and makes accessible 2,000 recordings of the women's movement from 1963 to 1982. In this will make the most permanent collection of Pacifica that there is. In other words, at the National Archives, when the American Women's Collection is available with a finding aid, every serious researcher in America that does anything, writing books, dissertations, theses, doctorates, will find this collection and will listen to the recordings of the Pacifica broadcast. What I wanted to say, too, is this it? Oh, there it is. Part of the part of the initiatives and the performance goals of the grant is to promote it, to tell people and educators about the initiatives that we're doing and that this collection will be made available. So the project archivist Jolene Beiser went to Bryn Mawr College to a women's history. Is it going to come up? No, it's not going to come up. So anyway, there's a PowerPoint presentation that Jolene Beiser put together that actually shows you step by step what it takes to do the project, taking a single tape and processing it through the extremely complicated procedures that are put forth to us. So we're excited that we're going to be finishing that in 3 months, and then comes the good part of finding profit and finding revenue from those materials, which is the next part of my presentation. I think will be the last part. Come on, Pacifica. Okay, which is the campus campaign. So 6 years ago, Lamont Yeakey and Jose Malt Lamont Yeakey and Jose Maldonado about 6 years ago started using materials as required listening in their classroom, with students having to buy a 10-hour CD for $10. Over the past 6 years, we've raised over $20,000 of two professors in four classes. So it's kind of obvious that that is projectable money, an obvious project, and we finally hit it to where we've created the National Campus Campaign, which has just been launched and sent to educators across the country, including Ms. in the Classroom with over 990 professors. They're going to be put it on their listserv, but also educators that have been part of this are helping us disseminate it. So we have a letter for educators telling them about the campus campaign. Oops, I hit the wrong button. I mean, everybody in the public can link this and send it to a teacher if they know of somebody. But what this does is introduce them to five subject matters that we've compiled with educators helping us put them together of civil rights, U.S. history, LGBTQ history, and women's history. So you'll see there that teachers can register for a complimentary subject MP3 disc in civil rights, U.S. history, women's studies, Latin American studies, and LGBTQ studies. I forgot the Q studies. They can customize the package for their classroom. And you can see that there's plenty of testimonials there that we have to brag about. But ultimately, I wanted to go back one to show you what one of the men's. So what we're going to be doing is obviously collecting our contacts. We'll get names, addresses, schools, what courses are being taught, and they can get one for free and then buy the other ones for $10. So this is the civil rights studies with 10 hours, and it'll show you what we do to cover. And this is not what we think is popular. It's not what's good programming on the radio. It's not what is our favorite program. It's what seriously is considered and used in curriculum and syllabi. This is working to make sure that our broadcast legacy extends beyond just the radio broadcast airwaves, but into the classroom, into young minds, that influences them like you. I know that you all have been influenced by the broadcast themselves. So looking at a broadcast from 1959, Fannie Lou Hamer, James Baldwin, Muhammad Ali, the Black Panther Party. All of these are going to be used in the classroom, and we're looking forward to not only inviting new donors by teachers in education, but getting into academe to formalize these curriculum, our sort of self-campus campaigns, and formalize it into real curriculum. And I think with that, future funding, got that, February, got that. Other than that, community events, the grand performances at Los Angeles. Thank you.
Grant Park,
thank you. A month away from now, we are going to be front center stage at grand performances with the 50th anniversary of the Watts Uprising. Let me see. Where does it say calendar? Media, events, calendar. June, July. There you go. All right, so part of the series called LA Aftershocks, Watts 50. New York City-based Lyricist Lounge curates their first West Coast evening of socially conscious rap and hip-hop. Pacifica Radio's on-the-ground coverage of the 1965 events will serve as the source material for select musical compositions. So we will have the KPFK logo and the Pacifica Radio Archives logo projected on a 15-story building downtown L.A. on July 10th. We will be tabling at the event selling CDs. We will have VIP seats to use as premiums for our donors. We will have a moderated panel that will include Mark Torres, maybe Mark Maxwell, and possibly some others that have been nominated. But what this does is introduce us to an entirely new audience. Working with Anthony Marshall and DJ Lego, if these tracks of the music mix of rap and our coverage, if they actually get released, we'll actually have royalties for an album or a CD release. So we're looking for revenue being generated by that. So I think that's the most exciting thing that I have to say other than, it's not the most exciting thing. Mary Wilson of the Supremes is going to be doing a benefit concert honoring Lena Horne with the author of her biography, Stormy Weather, James Gavin, for the archives at the Edison here downtown in late September. And the Wattis School of Contemporary Design in San Francisco. I think I got some of those words wrong. But they are doing, Andrea Fraser did a performance art piece using Feminist Magazine's broadcast of the 1970s, Men on the Line, about feminism. And that has actually been published in two books. It's just being translated into German. And Andrea Fraser has named the Pacifica Radio Archives as the beneficiary to the performance, which will be in October in San Francisco, probably at the Women's Building. So all in that, I can say that I'm very proud of the full Pacifica Archives staff that wear many hats to do many jobs and bring the Pacifica broadcast legacy to a national import with the National Archives. And it's only the beginning of the future, which is considered the golden age of audio preservation, starting now with the National Radio Preservation Task Force of the Library of Congress. And with that, I thank you for your time and listening.
Brian, on behalf of all of us, I want to congratulate you and thank you for this incredibly productive outreach effort. I think this is the kind of thing that really will define Pacifica's future going forward. The extra audience, the extra outreach, and this kind of educational component is absolutely invaluable. So thank you again.
Thank you.
Okay, so can we, Brian, are you ready for questions?
I'm sure.
We need to extend.
Yes.
There was a motion that was passed in the Archives Committee. I thought I sent it to the whole LSB, but Brian, I know it was in our minutes. Is there any way we can, can you cut and paste it from the minutes of our last Archives meeting and send
first
it?
First of all, pardon?
Later I can, but I think Leslie wants to use my laptop for her presentation.
I don't know. It's mine, but I don't know how to use it. John or Abram? Okay, tell him if he can turn off the projector. Okay.
Point of order.
No, parece que ya lo apagaron. Did they already turn it off? Yeah, okay.
Point of order.
Okay.
Point of order.
Okay, we're at time, so someone will have to move to extend to entertain questions.
Move to extend 20 minutes. 15 minutes.
We have time certains for other reports.
Oh. 15 minutes. I don't think less than that is realistic.
Is there any objection for 15 minutes? I've heard 15 and I've heard 10. Going once, going twice.
10.
Okay. Is there any objection for 10? Okay. We're extended 10 minutes. Who are the item timers? Janet?
No.
Jim? Item? 10 minutes.
No,
it is Janet. Okay. And is anyone taking the stack in Brenda's absence? She had to leave. Okay, I'll take the stack. Okie dokie. Let's see. Jose Luis hasn't spoken much today, and his hand was up first. I saw Brian. I saw some hands over here. Oh, Teresa. Okie dokie. Let's get going. Questions, Jose Luis.
Brian, thank you for the presentation, and thank you for these financials. I want to get a sense from you of when you think the archives will be able to be self-sufficient and maybe be in the black, as we're showing somewhere about $130,000 in the red right now.
Actually, one of the things that Mariana Berkovich, who's been with the Pacifica Finance Office for over 37 years, is the Pacifica Reading Archives is never meant to be in the black. It's a service unit to the institution. It's never been a profit unit. What we do is do as much fundraising we can do to supplement the obligation of the foundation to support the unit. So as you can see, we raise in fundraising in November, we raise more than, I think, 50% of our own income. So in as the campus campaign is noting and projecting money like $20,000 over two classes and expanding it, we can only say that we've just launched it. So depending upon the feedback and how much energy and investment this institution puts into that initiative, then we can tell you how much money we can raise. I can't actually see you. Are you there?
Okay. Okay. Brian?
It was a beautiful presentation, Brian. And I apologize if I ask you about the numbers.
Okay. Well, you can ask me, but I'm probably going to say let's ask Mariana when she gets back from her vacation in Spain.
Well,
best I can.
This sounds like something you might have an answer to. Under tapes restoration, you have spent $33,000 less than budgeted.
Yes.
And I'm curious if you're doing something to save money or if that's just a timing issue and you're expecting to spend it later this year.
Actually, it's two things. One, the cost of CDs, we changed to jump drives, and the cost of jump drives are less than the CDs. And also Mariana said this. I'm going to get this right.
This is not the tapes and supplies line.
Oh, okay. So which line is it?
So one line up from that. It's a line that's tapes and restoration.
Tapes and restoration is the grant. Wait a minute. Which section are you in, Brian? I'm sorry.
So this is page 2 of your report.
Yep.
Under the subheading programming expenses.
Okay.
3 lines down, tapes,
okay.
Restoration.
Okay, yeah. That is a timing thing. So that's the grant money for the NHPRC, which we still have about $60,000 to get from them to pay off for the last 3 months.
So it's money. The money that it looks like you're saving there is money you will spend.
That's
eventually
correct. Right. That's a wash. In other words, in and out.
Great, thank you.
Okay. Next is Teresa.
I have two things, Brian. Campus campaign. It sounds like the campaign that we have where you give $150 for a certain number of tapes that you get, and then it's sent to another campus. But when I want you to remind people that this campus campaign is different. This is getting professors to add these audios to their curricula, right?
Right.
And I want you to tell these people here what they can do to help, right? Maybe give them your email. Maybe they know some professors that are teaching what classes. Tell them how to get involved and help you with that.
Hi, everybody. Hi again. All right, so yeah, so what we do have is an introductory letter and the campus campaigns. There's some printouts that I did, but on the Pacifica website, if you know of a teacher, if you know somebody that is a department head of something, if you know anybody that's a retired teacher, send them this introductory letter. Believe me, teachers are wanting of these kinds of media materials to help teach the subject. Teachers don't even know what we have to teach. They're learning themselves. What we have is actually called pedagogy. Is that right? Yeah. Somebody tell me.
We're teaching
how to teach with new materials. And we've even done it on the ground with Mumford High School. We created an assignment where we had 30-second clips of Fannie Lou Hamer, Malcolm X, James Baldwin, and the students had to come up with a piece of music to complement what they were saying. And the teacher learned from that project of where that woman was a poet, that boy was a musician, that boy over there is a mathematician. She understood because they had a way to voice and work with audio, which is what youth use. So with this, I think that we're crossing the line and the hurdle and the firewall between us as a radio station and the youth in the classroom and the teachers that teach the subjects that are brand new. LGBTQ studies are new. Latin American studies are new. Civil rights studies are fairly new since the 60s, but they're fairly new. What we have will change history, guaranteed, because what we have in the history books, it's not entered in there. So the definitive history hasn't been written yet until these materials are used and rendered through scholarship. And that scholarship is going to happen with the Radio Preservation Task Force. Come February, Research Caucus, I will have a team of professors that will help us write grants, not for themselves, but for us, because it's in their best interest that these materials are available to them. And the most important thing that the archivists are doing right now on the ground is listening to every single one of those 2,000 tapes from beginning to end to make sure that they type every name, they spell every name correctly, they identify every person on that tape. So then we can go through copyright, and we're already learning about copyright. We've created a copyright system of sort of tagging and clicking what's good, what's bad. So the next thing to do is with those 2,000 women's recordings, we can actually market them. We can register them with the Library of Congress. And the best of the best can be be released. My favorite thing this week on From the Vault is 12 Years of Lesbian Activism, done in 1981 by Jenny Z. Burson. It was the first survey of lesbian history broadcast to the American public. And it's now being used in the classroom.
So, and another thing.
So, what you can do to help is email me some names of teachers.
Yes. Yeah, so, do you want to give out your email?
Brian@pacificaradioarchives.org.
Can't go back. We have other people on the stack here. We have Rodrigo and Serene.
Has to do with that question, actually. As a member of the audience, you know, who's a former programmer from La Causa, is asking. He's asking about a series of programs they did, four-part series of about the history of Los Angeles Police Department. It was 2006. How did they get probably to the archives? They got to talk to you?
If it's 2006, we'll have to look. There was one year that we actually lost in the server crash. But if it's there, if we know the day and the time of the broadcast, we can retrieve it.
No, he can talk to you.
Who was that?
Yeah, okay. Okay, Serene?
Later.
Okay, how much time do we have left?
Janet, 2 minutes and 9 seconds.
Okay, so I won't bring any motions at the moment, but you should be prepared for motions looking for ways to supplement the income into the archives, including refiguring the central services formula that we use now. And for everyone listening, and we have teachers, we have certainly a bunch of teachers on the air on BAI, please review your program grid and see who you know who's currently on the air, who's involved in education. And for those listening, contact Brian. The archives are awesome. I was up there last night. I mean, you can get lost there. You go, you start just reading the labels. You don't want to leave. Okay, so we must maintain the archives. Brian is right in the sense that, you know, unlike the stations that have access to the listeners 24/7, the archives doesn't have that fundraising pool to use. So we've got to find a way to make it work.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so if there aren't any other questions,
there's
another question. Okay, Teresa, make sure it's a question, not a proposal.
So
was
tell
there
us
someone else? No. Why are you pointing, Adriana? Oh, I thought someone. No, he already spoke. Okay. Teresa.
So tell us again, Brian. If we have anyone that we know of in education, we can contact you at your email, and you will contact them or maybe get into some history departments or whatever. But the other thing about the motion, it sounds like we might not be able to get to that motion, but tell us again what that motion is about and what we'll be what we will be providing for other stations that KPFAK is already getting.
Right. So what we want to do is have a computer with a cable from your telco room into a computer. We set it up with Total Recorder, which is a software program that Otis and John provided with us at KPFK 6 years ago. You just sort of pipe it in, and it automatically records 24/7. The costs are a repurposed computer or whatever your basic computer is. I don't think it could be a laptop, but a PC. And the software program is $100. Hard drives a year, you know, a couple $100. So it's really like almost no cost. And so for me, it's a no-brainer. It's just getting it actualized. But I think it really is important for the board to make sure that the stations and the technicians and the engineers understand that it is very important that we make sure that we're collecting and saving the materials for preservation in the digital world.
Okay, thank you. Brian, I'm sorry, our time is up, but thank you so, so much, and thank you for bearing with us and running an hour behind.
Sure, thank you. I don't know what to do with this stupid laptop.
Our overall meeting is obviously going to be extended somewhat, but let's get to our KPFK general manager.